We're talking about undecided voters today. About 10% of voters still don't know who they're voting for, according to polls. So we want to give them some advice. We are asking you to give them some advice. How do you make those tough decisions? Give us a call at 8778-MYTAKE or drop us a note at mytake@thetakeaway.org. So undecided voters, it turns out, actually know who it is they want to vote for, or so says a recent study carried out by Italian and Canadian psychologists. The study found that many people who think they are undecided really have already made their decision. They just may not be aware of it. More importantly, their decisions are derived not from facts, according to these researchers, but from their personal preferences they didn't realize they had. Dr. Bertram Gorinsky, he joins us now, was one of the authors of the study. And good morning. Right. What do you know that you didn't know you know this morning?
what we do know is, and we all know this for quite a while, is that people tend to have automatic associations with regard to a variety of objects in their environment, among those being politicians. And what we found was that these automatic associations, even if they don't really crystallize themselves into a conscious decision at a particular point, that these automatic associations can bias people's perceptions of ambiguous information. So if you, for example, take a political debate between two candidates, that this can distort their perception of the political debate so that they come to a particular conclusion. And so in that sense, these automatic associations can lead them into a particular direction. And that enabled us to predict future choices of undecided decision makers in this study, or if you apply it to the political process, one could say that automatic associations could predict which candidate someone would sway to, even at a point where participants haven't made a conscious decision yet.
But how do you parse out that information?
So what we do is we use computer-based speed of categorization tasks. So in our study, this was about a controversial expansion of a U.S. military base in Italy. And we present them, or in this particular study, we presented them with positive and negative words on a computer screen. And participants were asked to categorize these words as positive and negative as quickly as possible. And randomly interspersed with these positive and negative words, we've shown them pictures of the U.S. military base. And in one condition of the task, they were asked to press the same key that they use for positive words every time they see a picture of the military base. In another condition, we asked them to press the same key that they use for negative words that they, every time they see a picture of the military base. And automatic associations influence people's performance in the task in the sense that someone with more favorable associations regarding the U.S. military base in our study, for them it would be easier.
But how do you account for any predisposition? I mean, you're picking something pretty controversial in many parts of the world as the U.S. military. It's unlikely that any adult is going to sit there with no opinion about it before they begin this study.
Oh, yeah, sure. We asked them in a first step whether they were in favor of the enlargement, against the enlargement, or if they're still undecided. We asked them quite a number of questions about their conscious beliefs, what the expansion of the U.S. military base will do to the region economically, environmentally, socially. And we gave them this computer-based task to identify their automatic association.
Okay, I'm going to ask you to hold on right there because I want to bring Jonah Lehrer into the conversation. He is a science writer and the Takeaway's science correspondent. And Jonah, what's your thought on this, that we know but we don't really realize that we know?
Well, the point of this clever study backs up a lot of research showing that consciousness is a very small part of what the brain is doing at any given moment, and most of your decisions are strongly influenced by all that stuff taking place in your unconscious, which generates all these subtle emotions which then guide your actual behavior. So this research, I think, extends a lot of this previous research to the domain of politics and showing that undecided voters, even though they may consciously think they haven't made a decision, their unconscious shows otherwise. And by asking people questions that can tap into their unconscious, you can really access all those decisions that are taking place there.
Dr. Gorinsky, given what you've found, how do you think that political parties, one side or the other, can use this to help their causes?
Well, I think this is a little bit the unfortunate side of this finding. I think they, to some degree, they already have realized that, because if you look at how certain campaigns are running right now, that it's sometimes it's like the messages are much more subtle. It's less about content, and this is how these automatic associations are created. So you can describe this more in a fashion like conditioning processes. So we've all heard about the dog. The bell is ringing when the food is coming, and at some point, it's just the bell leads to the same response. And you can compare that to that situation. You repeatedly pair something with something positive or something negative. So there is not really an argument here. So this is the way how these automatic associations develop. And I think this is actually the scary part of the message here, that undecided voters may be particularly susceptible to these type of campaigning.
Jonah, so are we being manipulated, or at least those who are undecided or seemingly undecided, are they being manipulated by the campaigns?
This is just what advertisers do. It's the same thing. That's why beer advertisers pair their brand with pretty blonde models on a beach. They want to generate those positive associations, and now politicians are doing the exact same tactic.
And, Doctor, what other conclusions did you make in your study?
One thing that we also found, and I think this is a part that is often ignored, is that this primarily works only for undecided voters. For decided voters, we find completely the opposite. For them, it's primarily what they consciously believe, but automatic associations don't have any influence at all. It's exactly to the contrary. Their conscious beliefs influence their automatic associations. So I think here's a little bit also the potential for future research that we could then give people if they don't want to be influenced by their automatic associations, because it seems like that decided voters are doing something that influences their automatic associations. So if you don't want to become a slave of your automatic mental associations, there seem to be means to make yourself resistant against that.
So we can fight back, Dr. Bertram.
Exactly.
Goronsky.
I hope so.
Thank you very much. He's Associate Professor of Social Psychology at the University of Western Ontario. And John O'Leary, I'm going to give you the last word. How do we fight back?
I think you fight back, as the professor said, by trying to learn about these candidates, by trying to fill your conscious brain with all sorts of facts and knowledge about their actual policies. You can actually make yourself a little bit more rational. You can fight back against the way your brain is actually designed.
Jonah Lehrer, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Jonah Lehrer is author of Proust Was a Neuroscience, a science writer, and the Takeaway Science Correspondent. And we're always glad to have him around. We're talking about undecided voters. And do you have a thought on how you make up your mind or how they make up their minds? Why don't you give us a call at 877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake@thetakeaway.org. I'm Adora Udoji, and this is The Takeaway.